You'll find engaging illustrations, colorful layouts, and helpful charts in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition.
If I ever write this letter, all the pages I could write.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Monday, August the 13th, we are looking at a pile of listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line, and it's time to respond to some of our listeners' comments. The vast majority of the listeners to Issues Etc. listen on demand. That means they don't listen when the show is being broadcast live, like as I'm speaking now. They listen on demand at some other time, doing something else at some other time. That means if they want to join the conversation, if they have a question, if they want some clarification, if they just want to add something or make a suggestion, they need to do it either over our listener email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or via the Issues Etc. listener comment line. Both of these are open to our listeners all the time, any place they are, 618-223-8382. We'd like to begin with listener email.
And the information you just gave also applies to live listener. You might be listening live and you think, I can't call in now or I can't email now.
You can do it anytime.
Exactly. So the comment line and that email address is available for you as well. Well, a week ago, this past Friday, I started to receive quite a few emails about one particular issue. Jonathan summarizes it for us. This segment with Trevor Sutton on social media and religion led with the claim that Facebook just reached a $1 trillion market cap for the first time. That was actually Apple. Now, after the first one or two, I thought maybe they just misheard.
But well, after, they were hearing it right.
But after about a dozen on a Friday night, I went back and listened, and our listeners were right.
I spent that Friday night watching, I think I was watching a ball game while receiving one email after another from Jeff. Jeff usually doesn't forward listener email to me until the day we do listener email. So a couple hours ago, he started forward listener email to me. But he was emailing me, and it was, I think, over the course of the evening and then on to the next day, probably at least a dozen that he forwarded to me. And I thought, okay, I know I made that mistake. I didn't realize it was a mistake at the time, obviously, otherwise I wouldn't have made it. But the minute it was pointed out, I realized it was a mistake.
Well, had you had a professional producer, they would have caught that, who was actually listening to that interview, that wouldn't have probably passed the smell test, or at least probably Googled it.
Right.
You know, how quickly could Facebook have gone to $1 trillion in revenue, you know?
Well, it's not out of the realm of possibility because there are three companies ready to go to $1 trillion. Apple has.
Yeah, but they've been around longer than Facebook.
Yeah,
but
Facebook doesn't live by anybody's rules.
That's true.
Financially or otherwise. What I actually had done was conflated in my own fevered brain two stories that had come out the same week. The first one was that Apple broke $1 trillion. And as I pointed out earlier, the parent company of both Google and Amazon are prepared to do that within the next year or so, if not by the end of this year. So three companies on the global stage are going to be valued at $1 trillion. That's just mind-boggling. But I conflated that with the story that came out about Apple's loss of revenue.
Facebook's.
Facebook's, yes. Facebook's loss. See, you're doing your job.
There you go again. Who said that? Who is it? There you go again. That was in one of the presidential debates.
That was Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan with Fritz Mondale? Was it Mondale or was it Jimmy Carter?
I might get it wrong.
There you go again.
It wasn't Jimmy Carter.
Then it had to be Mondale.
It was Mondale.
That was classic.
It was a great line. And I imagine he had no one writing it for him. But back to the subject. I conflate it with the story of Facebook's loss. In particular, Mark Zuckerberg lost, I think, somewhere in the mid-teens percentage of his personal worth in the loss that Facebook suffered that very same week. So I conflated those two. I was grasping for a hook. That's what they call it at the beginning of a radio conversation. You're looking for something to kind of toss out there to catch the listener's attention. I was grasping for a hook and conflated the two in my mind. And I do apologize for the mistake. It was an honest mistake. And we have, by the way, Jeff, we should point out, we have, by the way, gone back and corrected the mistake. We went back and redid the open for that particular conversation so that no future listeners would be offended or caught up short by my mistake.
Yes, we have. And There You Go Again was Ronald Reagan in a debate against Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy
in 1980.
Carter. Yeah. See, I was wrong again.
I know. I thought it was Mondale.
That's why
Craig said it was Carter.
That's why you were. Yeah, but Craig probably Googled it.
No, Craig really thought that.
Craig wasn't born then. Yeah. Well, how old were you, Craig, when they were running against each other?
He was eight.
He was 8 years old, but he personally remembers staying up late to watch that. So there you go again.
There you go again.
Don't say things that you're not absolutely sure of.
That was a classic. Although his line against that Roger Ailes came up with on the second Mondale debate about exploiting my opponent's youth and inexperience, yes. I refuse to do that. That was classic.
But part of it with Reagan was his ability to deliver those in such a completely natural, you know, that he had people working on that stuff for him. But he delivered in such a completely natural and likable way. Not a lot of people believe that. I mean, not a lot of Reagan detractors believe it. But he did it in such a way that it didn't sound like he was really ragging on his opponent. It was always done with a smile and a shake of his head, that kind of thing.
Well, he was an actor. Probably helped.
I tell you what, I don't want to go too far down this road. But
don't. Just don't.
There are days when I just think, what a different world we live in now. What a different world we live in politically. And that was, you know, that was considered crazy that he would deliver a line like that. That was considered the height of incivility that he would suggest such things. And it's also quaint and charming now by comparison.
More email?
Sure.
Or political banter?
No. Email's fine.
Brian writes, this will be the last email we'll take on this topic. I don't like the inane banter. I'd rather hear more listener email. So there you go. We're not even gonna respond to Brian. We're going straight to email.
Go back to the email.
This is Tanya. She says, sadly, and she's responding to an interview on This Week in Pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Rosebro, where Oscar de la Mora was pleading for altar calls.
I don't think it was Oscar,
gospel.
But it was something.
Oscar.
It was someone.
I think Oscar de la Hoya. He was a boxer.
I think it was Ramon de la Mora, but I'm probably going to be wrong on that one too. So, not that it matters.
What is de la Mora's net worth is what I want to know. Is it $1 trillion?
No, I seriously doubt it is.
Okay.
We were doing one of our This Week in Pop American Christianity features with Pastor Chris Rosebro on this preacher of the last name De La Mora, who first name yet to be determined after Craig Googles it. Where's Lynn? Shouldn't Lynn be catching all this stuff? She's the filter of all matters truthful. In any event, we were talking about this guy who preached a sermon series on the God who breaks the rules. What's the email have to say there, Jeff?
Oh, I was just trying.
Oh, you were Googling something.
I was actually trying to get the name right. I was hoping you'd vamp a little bit longer because I'm almost there. It was on a Friday, and the evangelist's name is Sergio de la Mora.
How could I have forgotten
Sergio
that?
De la Mora. So Twyla, in this email, is responding to an interview with Chris Rosebro about Sergio de la Mora's altar calls apart from a clear proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Twyla says, sadly, those who come to these altar calls are looking for God's forgiveness. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod had the blessed truth of forgiveness through the body and blood of Christ in the Lord's Supper, but they can only receive forgiveness if they come in Luther's name and give LCMS and our confessions the credit. Why not freely give the lost God's gifts of faith in Christ's word? Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break participation in the body of Christ? 1 Corinthians 10:16. And she also quotes John 6:37, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the email, Twyla.
Well, I think she's probably finding objectionable the practice of closed communion practiced by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It should be practiced by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregations. Sadly, it's really rather rare, to tell you the truth, among Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregations in which church fellowship is observed. That is, the boundary of fellowship around the Lord's table that has been set in place by both Scripture and the Lutheran confessions is observed. It is not observed on the basis of, what did she say, giving Luther and the Lutheran confessions credit? I don't know exactly what that means. It's actually simply, what is your public confession of faith? Is your public confession of faith, number one, that this is the true body and blood of Jesus Christ that is laid before you with bread and wine to be eaten and drunk for the forgiveness of your sins? And two, if that is your public confession, is that consistent with where you attend church, in essence? Are you a member of a church that confesses this very thing? And if the answer to one is yes, and the other one, and to two, is no, or if the answer is, well, let's just put it this way. If the answer is no on either count, then we have to say, we kindly ask you not to commune, because number one, St. Paul warns those who receive Christ's body and blood without faith in those words that they receive it in an unworthy manner to their judgment, not to their condemnation, but to their judgment rather than receiving Christ's forgiveness, life, and salvation. If the answer, of course, is to those two questions is yes, then they are welcome to commune. Why do we do this? Number one, as I mentioned, the apostles' words. Number two, it is the unbroken historic practice of the church from the time of the apostles. They actually used to send those who didn't have that confession of faith, private and public, out. I mean, if you think not being allowed to commune in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation is harsh, in the early church, they actually would send them out. The uninstructed, those who were still being instructed, and those who did not believe these things were sent out of the church at that point in the service, and the doors were closed. And that's closed communion. It is not only the practice of the earliest church, it is clearly taught in the Lutheran confessions. They talk about communion where some are invited and others are forbidden to approach. That's taught in the Augsburg Confession. There's a place in the Apology of the Augsburg Confession where they talk about not, or in the Large Catechism, we do not wish to commune those who do not know what it is or why they come, and that it is given only when they have been instructed and examined. That's in the Apology of the Augsburg Confession. It simply is our confession of faith. Now, if you're asking a congregation to violate its confession of faith, to violate its conscience in order that you may commune, that's really the tail wagging the dog. We are not refusing anyone forgiveness. The absolution that should be at the head of every Lutheran service is for all who repent. It is for all who repent. The Lord's Supper is for those who make a confession that is congruent with that which is made at that altar. But, you know, we're not the only ones. I'll just point that out. You go to a Baptist church, they do expect you to believe what Baptists believe about the Lord's Supper in order to commune with them. They do. Now, they might not practice it, but officially they ought to. Roman Catholics, the same. But their official position is that those who believe as Roman Catholics ought to believe should be receiving communion and none others. So it actually is, at least on paper, the practice of the vast majority of Christian churches. It is not an attempt to withhold forgiveness from anyone. That is offered both in the absolution and in the preaching of the word. It is simply holding fast to what Christ gave us. Part of treasuring his institution of the Lord's Supper is to practice it the way that he intends it to be practiced, because it is, after all, his supper and not ours. If it were our supper, Well, we just open the table to anybody. But it's the Lord's Supper, and so we follow His and His apostles and His church's instructions. We'll be right back.
Based upon human dignity, the nature of a human person, that we protect certain human rights.
Dr. Ryan Anderson of the Heritage Foundation talking about his presentation at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And then amongst these human rights, the very first one is going to be the right to life, and then the right to liberty, especially religious liberty, and then how freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of assembly and association, how these things actually hang together or they fall together. That a society that doesn't respect the free exercise of religion also will tend not to respect freedom of speech or freedom of press or the right to life or rights of private property, that these civil liberties tend to hang together.
You can meet and hear Ryan Anderson making the case for our first freedoms at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas, Texas. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
Some Bible passages make us more uncomfortable than others. Take, for example, any passage about money. But just because a topic makes us uncomfortable doesn't mean we shouldn't face it head on. That's exactly what the August issue of the Lutheran Witness has done, with articles on poverty, generosity, money management, and more. You won't want to miss it. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. Edgruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkins. This is Issues Etc. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. The email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. The comment line, 618-223-8382.
Donovan writes, I have gone to your website a few times looking for information on books, but when I look, I can't seem to find the books of the month. Is there a section that I am not going to? Thanks.
There probably is. I think it is a little buried at the website. By the way, we are working on the prospect of updating our website, and hopefully some of the things that have been buried over the last 10 years through the incompetent efforts of our webmaster, yours truly, will be fixed. But if you go to issuesetc.org and you look up at the top, there's a banner menu across there. There's publications. Click on publications. That's what you're looking for. And you'll find transcripts at the top, Arabic, Spanish. Then you'll find previous editions of the Issues Etc. journal. And then you're going to find a list to, with links to, all of the Issues, Etc. books of the month for, well, ever, it looks like, at least since we started putting them up there. So it's going back years and years, and it's just recently been updated. I know because I just recently updated it last week, and you can find any of them whatsoever. Oh, by the way, the latest Issues, Etc. book of the month, that is for the month of August, and I got to actually look at one of these yesterday because I was preaching at a church where the pastor had one sitting on his desk. It's Luther's Small Catechism, but it doesn't look like Luther's Small Catechism. It isn't small. It is thin, but it isn't small. It's a visual edition of Luther's Small Catechism, and it's intended for helping, as was the original intent of Luther's Small Catechism, helping to teach both young and old with this very simple catechetical device. It's called Luther's Small Catechism Visual Edition. You can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, and ask for the visual edition of Luther's Small Catechism, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August.
And the current Book of the Month will always be prominently displayed on the right side of our website on every page.
Yeah, you'll see it. Now, that might not hold true when we revamp the website, but it'll be there. A picture of the book, click on it, and it's a way to buy it as well.
Jim is responding to your interview with Mark Tooley on a Religion News Service interview with six newly elected female bishops in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. He writes, "It hit me, Todd, when you asked the question to Mark Tooley on the program about liberalism and the decline of those churches. You asked something like, with the mainline congregations capitulating to the culture, why aren't they growing? For one thing, the voice of the liberal cause movements and such things as LGBT issues is that their numbers are, first of all, much, much smaller than they make us think. So there is not a lot of momentum in them to flood into a church. Secondly, and this seems self-evident, there is no reason for those folks of such an extreme mindset to darken the door of any church. They have what they want: complete, unrestrained freedom to do what seems right in their eyes. So I can't imagine why they would even bother to keep any facade of faith when it is absent and was pushed out by their own intent, desires, and belief. Unbelief has replaced belief, and no church is needed to support unbelief. Lastly, those who have sought to change the Bible and the institution of Orthodox Christianity have knowingly or unknowingly worked against it, so that all that will be left is a hollow reminder of some system of theology that once existed. Praise be to God, the gates of hell will not prevail against the true church, but we are witnessing an incredible attempt as it is tried. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the email, Jim."
I think you're quite right on all counts in evaluating why it is that churches that capitulate to the culture have been shrinking faster than any other religious institutions. It's why. I mean, I think you've encapsulated well in the second one. Why in the world would you go to church? Why would you waste the time on Sunday morning rather than sitting on your patio drinking coffee? Why would you do that if what you're going to hear from the church is the same thing you're going to hear from the American political left? No different. You're just going to hear it from someone who says they're speaking on behalf of God. Now, maybe you want to hear it from God. Maybe in order to bolster your views and have them reinforced, it helps to have someone in a collar tell you that this is God's word. But that hasn't really proved to be the case, has it? And in a lot of cases, those churches are just a poor man's version of what you can get by just going on social media and entering any one of the kind of left of center echo chambers that exists there. So you'll find it there. So it's not really surprising. I guess the irony here and the origin of the question that I asked Mark Tooley was that in virtually every single case, these churches that have done this as they say, in order to reach people. Every single compromise that they've done for two reasons. One, in order to reach people, and because they say God is telling them to make this change. They always claim that God is telling them to do this. They usually say the Holy Spirit is leading us. That's just a really convenient catch-all excuse. We are being led by the Holy Spirit to do this. But it's always justified in the name of trying to reach people. It's very interesting. That's really a common phenomenon, even in churches that don't have the reputation of being kind of the bastions of social justice leftism. Usually whenever a compromise is called for, the reason it's called for is to reach more people. This is why you find even among quote-unquote conservative Christians that have abandoned the liturgy, they've abandoned a lot of the doctrine of Christianity. They believe very strongly in go therefore and make disciples of all nations, but they forget the rest of what Jesus had to say, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, doctrinal minimalism. You find it in the growing churches of American evangelicalism too. And every one of those compromises was accomplished because someone said, we have to do this to reach more people, whether it was in the liberal churches or in the mainstream of evangelicalism. When we come back, we've got about 10 more minutes of listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
We would like to overlook the difficulty of daily repentance and death to our sins in the interest of progressing to a more advanced spirituality.
Rebecca Curtis from her new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Somehow, spiritual advancement always amounts to our getting to spend more time on the things we like and calling it stewardship or service.
You can purchase and download an audio version of Ladylike, Living Biblically at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Ladylike, Living Biblically by Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel.
This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we are committed to our Lutheran confession and heritage. Please encourage the student in your life to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
I hold this letter here in my hand. A plea, a petition, a kind of prayer. I hope it does as I have planned. Losing her again is more than.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. The email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. The comment line number, open 24/7 for your comments, 618-223-8382.
Hey, thanks to our good friend and listener, Steve Blakey in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He just got his invoice yesterday. He has produced a full-page ad in the Lutheran Witness magazine for September and a half-page ad for Touchstone Journal for the fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. So thanks, Steve, for doing that.
We have an amazing lineup for that Dallas conference, November 9th and 10th there. And the lineup includes Anthony Eslin. He's the author of Out of the Ashes. We have Dr. Ryan Anderson. You've heard him on the program. He's from the Heritage Foundation. He's going to be talking about our first freedoms. Dr. Mark Kaltoff of Hillsdale College. I'm really looking forward to his presentation, Making the Case Against Revisionist History. good old Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, one of our longest serving guests here on Issues, Etc. He's going to be talking to us about a legal case for the resurrection of Christ. Dr. Beverly Yonke dealing with the transgender child, and Chris Rosebro fighting for the faith. He'll be making the case for infant baptism. That's the lineup for the Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference in Dallas, Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th. You can register at issuesetc.org. You can see everything you need there, hotel information. You can download a registration form that you can mail in, or you can register right there online. Or if you need to, just give us a call, 618-223-8385, and register for the Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas. Let's go to the phone in Columbus, Ohio, and talk with Tanya. Hi, Tanya.
Hello. I know I've called in before, but I couldn't help but comment on the seeker-sensitive churches and that seeker-sensitive movement that just seems to be so pervasive. And just, I went to a church for a number of years until they started, you know, they were bringing in things like Rob Bell and Rick Warren and people like that, and marching with the Pride March. And that's when it's like, no. You know, you get to a point where let's get back to the foundation. Let's get back to expository Bible teaching. Let's get back to real sermons where the pastor reads the Bible verse and preaches on the text at hand. That's what the church really needs. It's not about numbers. It's about the people who are there actually learning something and growing in their faith and going out in the world and being who God made them to be, instead of just tickling people's ears and making them all happy without giving them anything.
Tanya, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Ohio. Well, yeah, and it's, I think a great example of that is Andy Stanley. Andy Stanley made a statement some weeks back about the Old Testament. We need to unhook from the Old Testament. We need to realize the Old Testament's kind of hampering what? What's it hampering? Our efforts to reach people. The Old Testament. So he has been talking a lot, doubling down, tripling down on his view that, you know, if we keep trying to explain the Old Testament, we are going to only get in the way of people. Now, we talked about this with Pastor Chris Rosebro sometime back, and my gut tells me that what Andy Stanley, by the way, pastor of a very large church, a very successful church, what I think he's doing is laying the groundwork for the compromise on human sexuality. I think he's going to come out at some point and say, look, we haven't been paying much attention to the Old Testament. Really, all that stuff about homosexuality is probably only in the Old Testament. And since we've unhooked from the Old Testament, we don't need to worry about that anymore. There may be something St. Paul has to say, but he's probably not talking about homosexuals like we know them today. So it's time for us to affirm this. That may be 5 years down the line, but it's probably there. Do you notice a trend here? That whether it is compromise on the left or compromise allegedly on the right, although I wouldn't put Andy Stanley there, liberal or conservative, compromise always leads in the same direction. So like I've said many times, whether it flows down the gutter on the right side of the street or down the gutter on the left side of the street, it all ends up in the same sewer. When there is compromise on the Word of God, and it's often sold us, sad to say, we have to compromise this matter of God's word in order to reach the lost. However well-intentioned that might be, it leads to another compromise and another compromise until eventually you're not dealing with Christianity anymore. You're dealing with something that still calls itself Christian, that may still retain the form, as St. Paul would say, the form of godliness, but lacks the substance thereof. What's ultimately lost? That message, the only message that saves, that message of law and gospel, whereby God's Holy Spirit brings us to repentance and grants us the gift of faith in Jesus Christ alone. And you'll notice it in these churches, on the left or the right, they will talk about Jesus as, well, even more increasingly now, a social justice warrior of his own day. But the message of the cross, it is less and less frequent. And there's a reason for that. Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson. on Jesus healing Jairus' daughter, and we'll discuss 7 tips for sending your child off to college. Cheryl Magnus will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.